You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, hit somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Arby's on West 10th Street, where tonight we have, of course, our Tuesday tradition inside Ben Davis Football. I'm John Easter, pinch hitting for LaVon Durden tonight. LaVon is out this evening, and we hope he's doing okay. Tonight, we have our good friend, Jeff Robinson from the Flyer. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good to have you, as always. And, of course, the head coach of the Ben Davis Giants, Mr. Mike Kirster. Coach, how are you?
Oh, it's great. Great. Glad to be here. It's another Tuesday. Arby's is great to us down here, and they had served me the best curly fries in the country, man. I love their curly fries.
And I went for the classic roast beef sandwich here for dinner.
There you go.
That's what I did, too, Jeff. I just went with the old standby. But anyway, speaking of old standbys, it was kind of like an old standby night for the Ben Davis Giants defense. After giving up 50 points against the Pike Red Devils, you turn around and half the average of the last two games because you shut out the Center Grove Trojans 28-0, Coach. Tell us about the game.
Well, I thought our defense responded. Coach Williams did a good job challenging our kids this last week to play four quarters and not just physical. Our defense has not been a problem of hitting. Our defense has been a problem of mental focus at times. And I thought our kids did a great job. You know, the Center Grove's a great offense. They put together a great drive to start the game. We were able to stop them when they got down there. Jalen Harden came up with a big pick. The next drive they got a little shorter field, put another good drive together, and we stopped them. They attempted a field goal and missed. And honestly, that was about the really last time we really felt threatened at that point. And anytime you can shut out an opponent in the MIC, in our conference, you've done something that's hard to do. You go back and look at the MIC conference, it doesn't happen very often at anybody's game anywhere because the teams are so equally matched. You know, we were able to turn. We forced four turnovers, three interceptions by the secondary, which I believe we have more interceptions on the season right now than we had in all 10 games last year, and we're only four games into it. So I'm real pleased with the defense came out and played. I thought we cleaned up some things on our special teams in the week before against Pike. We gave up one long kickoff return and another one for a touchdown. And so Coach Schwanekamp, our special teams coordinator, kind of changed some things up. And we literally had two kickoff teams. We had a purple team and a white team, and they alternated. And we had a little incentive program out there. Whoever made the tackle got pizza on Monday. So we bought pizza for a bunch of kids on Monday. And I think their best kickoff return got to our 23 versus touchdowns the week before against Pike. So we felt like we cleaned that up a little bit. Our special teams were solid. We had a new PAT kicker in Lucas, a young man that's a transfer student from Brazil. And he was 4-for-4 for the first time ever kicking in a varsity football game or actually ever playing football. He didn't even know how to put a helmet on when he showed up. So
foreign exchange student from maybe Denmark.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, he was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only holds the NFL record for scoring.
This has happened before.
Yeah, so Lucas did a good job there, so I thought our special teams did a great job. And then, our offense, you know, and everybody said, well, you guys didn't score many points. Well, now wait a minute. You tell me 28 points is not many points. I think that's a pretty good night. Partly that Center Grove limited our possessions by trying to control the ball, and I thought our offense was very efficient. You know, we got out of the hole the first possession. Second possession, we kind of sputtered, but, you know, their defense, you think back now, this Center Grove defense gave up 6 points in regulation to Warren, 17 points to Cathedral, shut out North Central, and gave up 22 to Lawrence Central. So it's not like, I'm sorry, I'm wrong on that. They gave up 6 to Warren in regulation. Center Grove did. I've got Warren on my mind.
Understandable.
They gave up 21 to Carmel. I'm trying to remember who else they played. They played Whiteland, gave up 13.
Yeah.
And who was their third game?
Well, you said Warren, Carmel, and Ben Davis.
So, I mean, they haven't given up many points to anybody. In fact, 28 was the most they've given up to anybody to that point. Going into the game, they were only giving up 13 points a game. So we were able to double what they normally give up. And once our offense got going the second quarter, they had a great drive. We got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes to go in the half, put together a two-minute drive, scored again, started with the ball in the start of the third quarter, went down and scored again. Now it's 21-0. Kind of changes Center Grove's game plan from there and kind of dictates a little bit. But overall, it was a solid game. I don't know that I would classify it as our best in all areas of the game, but it was a solid game and a good win. Anytime you can win in the MIC, it's a good thing.
Given that your team had come off, given up so many points against Pike, how did you feel about the performance in terms of a shutout for your team? Yeah. And I mean, and what changes did you make to achieve that?
Well, I don't know that we changed anything scheme-wise. We really didn't. What we changed was maybe a little bit how we practiced, and really, our kids always practice harder. Chuck Schwanekamp's a longtime Hall of Fame football coach, and he's on our staff, and he says, "You know, I've been coming to your practice for 5 or 6 years. I've never not seen your kids practice hard." So that wasn't the issue. I think we just needed to practice smarter. We needed to have a better understanding of what it is was expected in our coverages, whether it be zone or man coverage, our blitz scheme and what we're going to run behind it. And I thought our kids did a good job focusing on and I thought our kids took it personally. I thought our defensive kids, I know our coaches did, but I also thought our defensive players were upset after the Pike game and visibly upset and took it personally that this is their responsibility, and that's a sign of a mature team because they're willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, we've got to get better. What we're doing is not good enough.
Well, now with the win over Center Grove, that gives you now wins over Cathedral, Avon, who was for a time ranked in the top 10. They kind of laid an egg against Brownsburg this past week. But and now Center Grove and also Pike. So you've got all four of those teams – have been or are ranked right now. Number one schedule in the state, according to the Sagarins. So you stand 4-0. How do you stand right now?
Good. I'm honestly, anytime you're 4-0, you're happy. But as a coach, and you've been around me a long time now, John, it's, you know, I got done with that game with Center Grove, and I'm sitting at dinner with my wife and kids at 10:30 at night at O'Charley's. And my wife said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this week, and this kid got dinged up, and how are we going to replace him this week?" And you know, and it just kind of flips. Unfortunately, our schedule doesn't allow you a whole lot of time to sit back. And I know all the coaches, older coaches, say if you don't enjoy them, you're in the wrong. And it's just tough because you know the next game's waiting in the wings, and obviously we're playing another ranked team. I think Pike's been ranked as high as fifth, and Cathedral's number one in some polls in 5A, and then Center Grove at 1-3, I still think, is ranked in the top 10. And Avon's like 11th or 12th, and at one point they were 6th or 7th. So, and now you're playing Warren, who's right up there, probably should still be number one because nobody's beaten them since they last won it. And I don't know, I guess I kind of look at that as until somebody beats you, you're the defending state champ, you're the number one team in the state. They haven't lost since last year when they got beat by Pike. I think week 7 or week 8 was the last time they lost a football game. So they're rolling, and rightfully so. So, you know, there is no breaks. This will be our – and I talked – our schedule is kind of front-end loaded, but there isn't anybody we didn't look at the first 5 weeks saying, if we're not on the top of our game, we're going to get beat.
You had your lowest point output of the season there. Well, largely, you've got to give some credit to Center Grove's defense for pulling it off. Compare Center Grove's defensive abilities to other defenses your offense has faced this year, including your own in practice.
Yeah, well, for us to face our offense in practice is brutal. I mean, they just shred us every day. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's scouts, ones versus ones. They just have their way with us. But Center Grove's defense, I thought their defensive line was as good as any defensive line we played. But here's the thing. I don't think we've seen a bad defensive line yet. You know, Cathedral returned two starters of their three, and the third one that came in was pretty good. Pike You talk about large.
I was really impressed with Pike's defensive line whenever I saw them against Brownsburg.
Big, strong, athletic kids, and then you got some good outside linebackers behind them, and very physical. Avon, you got the Belden kid, and they got, I can't remember his name, but not only Belden, but number 24. Oh, my gosh. His takeoff was exceptional. And then you follow that up, and you've got at Center Grove, 51. He's a junior for them, is maybe one of the best D tackles we've seen. Number 3, their DN, athletic. Number 94, their DN, was 6'4", 240 pounds. The other tackle was 6'6", 250 pounds. And all athletic. So we haven't seen a bad one yet. And when you get to next week, it's the same. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, and they're athletic. Number 91 for Warren is maybe as good as any D lineman in the state, you know, if not the best D lineman in the state. So it's just the way it is. You know, they challenge us. I thought our O-line does a great job rising to the challenge. I mean, even last week we didn't run as many plays. We didn't score as many points. We still had 430 yards of offense. Kyle Kastner was 25 of 33 for 308 yards and a touchdown. He's now thrown for 1,350 on the season in four games. He was efficient, took care of the ball. We had one turnover, which is good ball security. Dorian Tate rushed for over 100 yards again. So what we did when we had the ball was very efficient.
Coach, before we kind of turn the page here and talk about Warren Central, Center Grove is a team that you could certainly see again later in the season. You look at their run through state or run to the semi-state, it's frankly pretty easy. I mean, depend on anybody's definition. Yours is not.
No.
Because, of course, Brownsburg, we've seen them now rear their heads this year, defeating Avon. You got Avon in the sectional. Oh, by the way, you got Pike still
again
in this sectional. And then if you get to regional, you got Warren Central. Yeah. So you got to run that gauntlet to face Center Grove and then probably Carmel and State. So what do you keep? Do you keep things from this game in maybe thoughts that you might play Center Grove in down the road? How much of that?
Yeah,
or do you realize that it's like a totally different game?
It is a totally different game. The weather could be totally different. It could be freezing. It could be raining. It could be snowing.
Right.
Totally different setting. And there's a whole lot of football that has to be played to get there. A whole lot of things that you got to do to stay healthy to get there. They may be a different team. We may be a different team if you're even fortunate enough to get there. And unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, our sectional is brutal. You know, I mean, there's any one of the four. You know, I'm not just saying this. Any one of the four can win the sectional. And I know everybody's saying, well, you got this. Well, we have a bad night here or there. I get a kid hurt here or there. The whole scenario changes on us.
How unusual is it this far into the season to see a Center Grove team at the bottom of the mix at 0-3?
Yeah,
kind of weird, honestly. You know, they were
since 05.
Yeah, they were co-champs last year with us. The year before, they were co-champs with us and Carmel. So they've been 6-1, 6-1 the last 2 years, just like we have. And so for them to be 0-3 is really kind of bizarre, but he's young. Talking to Eric before the game, I don't know that it bothered him. You know, because of where he goes in the tournament, he's just got to be good come week 10, 11, 12, 13. And he knows that, and he will be. I'm just sorry. I think he will be.
I just happened to look up Eric's record at Center Grove. He's never had more than four losses in the MIC in any season.
Right.
Yeah, he was 3-4. There was a period there back when Tom Allen was the head coach. I think they were 6-5, 5-6, 6-5 type scenario like 3 years in a row.
But Warren Central, Center Grove has played Warren Central, Carmel, and Ben Davis, which, you know, if you look at the MIC, you've got the top four, then, you know, we're talking Pike and LC.
Are
right there still kind of trying to find themselves. And, Pike was a surprising loss to Carmel, I think, by margin. We can talk about that in the second half of the program. We'll send it back to the station now for a 30-second break. We'll bring it back for the second half of Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll turn the page. We'll talk about the Giants and, what's that team on the east? Warren Central.
The Warriors, buddy.
That's right, Warren Central, the Warren Central Warriors. We'll occupy our time in the next segment on Inside Ben Davis Football.
WBDG. Thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. Here at Arby's on West 10th Street, I'm John Easter, joined by Jeff Robinson of the Flyer and Mike Kirshner, the coach of the Ben Davis Giants. And we have a fan here tonight, so thank you very much for joining us here this evening to listen to the show. You can do that as well. We always invite the fans to come out and join us here on Inside Ben Davis Football. We're not shy, so just come on out and listen to us talk about football for about a half an hour. And right now we're turning the page, as we often do in this show, and we're going to now head over to the east side with the Ben Davis Giants on Friday night to face the Warren Central Warriors. The Warriors coming in a perfect 4-0 on the season, 3-0 in the MIC as well. And they're number 3 in the coaches and the AP poll. They're number 50 in the Max Preps poll. They're number 37, according to USA Today. The Giants are number 1 in the coaches poll, number 2 in the AP poll, number 13 in the Max Prep poll, and number 18 in USA Today. Once again, the Great American Rivalry Series is calling this one of their top rivalry games, so they will be there. 1070 The Fan will be there. We'll be there. Channel WRTV will be there. I mean, again, all the lights are on this game, Coach, and there's no reason not to be. I mean, it's the best game by far in the MIC on Friday night, and even if it weren't, there's still a reason to be at Ben Davis and Warren Central. Talk about the Warriors.
Yeah, well, obviously you get a great team, great program. Jason West has done a good job, you know, defending state champ, you know, beat Carmel 7-6 in the state finals last year. And credit to them, they finished tied for fourth, fifth in the MIC, you know, with a 4-3 record. Got going in the state, won their sectional, came back, was down to Pike late, came back and beat Pike in the regional, and went down to state and took care of business. So they're you know, beat Center Grove the second time around after Center Grove had beaten them during the regular season. So they're a very quality program. They've got a great back in Tyrone Young, who I believe rushed for 1,600 yards last year. They got a very athletic quarterback who throws the ball well. I think their defense is especially talented. McKelty Williams, the safety that's got all kinds of scholarships. Number 91, big defensive lineman that's, I think, is phenomenal. Linebackers run really well. They're very aggressive. And they don't get out of position very often. Solid kicking game. When you go there, it's a hostile environment. I mean, they make it so it's, you know, they try to intimidate you, and not in a negative way. I'm not being negative. That's just the way it is. And they do a great job building a great atmosphere. And we've got to go in there and just play our game and not get caught up in the emotions and the hype of the game.
I kind of felt like a lot of people seem to be selling Warren Central short. You haven't seen Warren Central maybe get the same level of attention as Carmel and Ben Davis as far into the season. Do you feel that same way in terms of maybe some people selling this team short?
Yeah, well, maybe the media is, but coaches know better. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to Kevin Wright and some of us. We're not. I mean, you know, it's a toss up. I hope we go in and play well. I hope we stay healthy. It's still a long season to go after this, and this is notoriously one of those games that's very physical and very demanding of your attention mentally and physically. And I don't know why people would sell them short. Like I said in the first segment, they probably should be ranked number 1 in both polls. They haven't been beat since last October sometime, and they deserve to be at the top of all the polls because that's what they've done. Until somebody knocks them off, they're the best team.
Until they're knocked off the pedestal, they're
that's
number
right.
1. You take a look at this series between the two, and frankly, it's not been good lately for Ben Davis. Of course, you do have good memories the last time you went over there, 6-3 win for the Giants in a really odd football game. I think that's the only way to describe it. But the Giants are 2-8 in the last 10. 14 of the last 17 have gone to Warren, and only 7 of those 14 have been decided by a touchdown or less. So that's not really good in any way for Ben Davis. How do you start to turn the series around?
Well, you focus on the game that's now. You don't focus on the past. You try to use the past to learn what you did right or what you did wrong, but this is a different team. This is a different year. We did not play well the night we played them, and that's a credit to them. They jumped on us early, got up to a 14-point lead. They were 14-0.
You're talking last year.
Yeah, they were up 14-0. Final was 24-7. We didn't play with any intensity. We didn't play with any enthusiasm, any heart. It was just kind of an odd game. You know, we were still trying to find ourselves. But then to credit to that team last year, we ripped off the next five and ended up winning the conference, you know, when everybody had kind of written us off. And so we got to find a way to match the intensity. You know, there's what you call rival games, and it's kind of odd to warn. This is a huge rivalry, and when you talk to our kids, the rivalry is more Pike and Avon and Brownsburg, the guys we're closest to. And you know, although they realize that the quantity and the overall intensity of this game, there's not that same, I don't know, attitude. I don't know.
And would you agree that has changed maybe since Pike has become more of a power?
Oh, there's no question, because it used to not be anybody over here necessarily that really kind of brought out the best in us. Pike brings out the best in us. Avon brings out. Brownsburg brings out the best in us. In fact, when I first got here back in 2000, probably the biggest thing next to a rivalry on the west side was Decatur.
Yeah,
Decatur and Ben Davis. And we, 2000, I think we were down. I mean, we were getting ready to get beat.
James Banks
put together a great drive and scored with a few seconds to go to win the game. And that was one, honestly, that, you know, me and Tom Allen talked about before, that they got in double tights and just started beating us up, which is not something Ben Davis does very, very often. And credit to Mike Gillen and the Decatur Central guys at the time. But that was the closest thing to really a West. You know, Avon and Brownsburg were still not in the same class as us, so we didn't play them. And Pike didn't really get going until Derek got there. So, it's kind of changed its focus.
First glance, this looks like another game of strength versus strength, your offense against their defense. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question, because their defense is very good. You know, they gave up 6 points in regulation to Center Grove. They gave up 17 to Cathedral, 22 to LC, none to North Central. So it's very similar to what we were dealing with last year. You're going in with a team that's giving up about 12 points a game, you know, versus our offense, which is scoring. I don't even know what they're scoring a game. But they've been pretty efficient all year.
45.5.
All right, 45 points a game. So it's going to be a matter of whether our offense can keep moving the chains. I know the one thing our offense has been very efficient as is first downs. I've never had a team average 20-plus first downs a game through four games. I mean, everybody talks about all our passing. Well, our passing is also very possession-oriented. We don't necessarily get 80-yard pass plays. We get 15, move the chains, 10, move the chains. Keeps the clock moving, keeps us moving. Our tempo's very fast, which is by design to kind of keep the defense sucking air and getting on their heels a little bit.
How similar, you saw that a little bit last night with the Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. How similar would you compare your offense to what Philadelphia is running now?
Well, it's,
obviously, personnel-wise, you can. But
it's similar as far as what we're trying to do with the tempo, although I'd say they're even faster than we are. You know, their goal is to get a playoff every 25 seconds. The difference is in the NFL and high school is we can't do anything until the official spots the ball. In the NFL, you get up there, the official just runs up and puts it down and takes off, and you can literally get going at a much quicker pace, whereas in high school, the officials, if you get officiating crew that doesn't want to hustle and put it down quick, they can kind of control the tempo of the game for you and kind of prohibit you from going as fast as maybe as you want.
What kind of benefit do you feel like you could gain, or was there anything you learned about your offense last week getting prepared for a defense as good as Warren Central's? I mean, Center Grove obviously being a stern test, but was there anything that you really learned by having a stiffer test from a defensive standpoint?
Yeah, no question. Here's two things. First, the Center Grove's defense is very similar to Warren's. in their front scheme, in their linebackers, in their secondary scheme. There's a lot of similarities. And so we were able to take some of those things that we didn't like that we were doing against Sandra, wasn't working as well, trying to get better at them, tweak them, maybe change the blocking scheme a little bit to give our kids a little bit better advantage this week going into Warren because the schemes are similar.
And there's no wonder why, because he comes from Centerville background. Yeah.
He was there for, I don't know how many years he was there, but he was there for a period of time.
When you look at who Warren has played so far, you know, you talk about him being 4-0. They played Center Grove. They played Cathedral. But they also have North Central and Lawrence Central on their schedule as well. So their 3-0 in the MIC is a little bit different than your 2-0 in that you played Pike and Center Grove. And you know, you have the common opponents there with Center Grove and Cathedral. You know, a lot of times I think people out in pundit land will say, well, Team A beat Team B, yeah, so Team C should beat Team A. Why does that not hold true in the MIC?
because all the teams are equal. I mean, when you look at it and you sit there and say, well, because you beat Center Grove 28-0 and Warren only beat them 12-6 in overtime, you should be a 2-touchdown favorite. Well, that was the first game of the season. Not the fifth game. The first game, there's a lot of mistakes made. I remember watching our first game and turnovers and mishandling of the ball and getting out of alignment, whereas now you've had four more weeks of practice, so you've kind of tweaked that and figured that out, and so now the teams are better, and you're hoping you're better, but the team you're getting ready to play is better. So you can't, you know, week one, we kind of caught Cathedral, you know, and I think the final was 44-19, but we were up 23-0 in the first quarter. We were playing faster than they were ready for. If we played Cathedral now, it'd be a completely different game. They played them week two when they had a chance to fix some things. And, you know, Warren jumped on them 20-0 at half, held on to win 20-17. But Cathedral's that kind of team that if we played them 3 weeks from now, I guarantee it wouldn't be a 44-19 game.
Well, that's something that you talk about jumping on people early. That's something you've done in every game so far this year, with the exception of the Avon game where Avon went down and scored. But after that, you kind of jumped on top of them, and before they knew it, they were down. Have you noticed that in this team, that they want to get out to that early lead and just hop on people?
Yeah, well, you always do. This team, more so than our last two, and the last two teams have been pretty good. We were 6-1 in the MIC 2 years ago and 6-1 in the MIC last year. So they've been pretty good for 2 years in a row, but our offense 2 years ago did struggle. We struggled to get first downs. Our defense was very good. Last year we felt like after the Warren game, we made some changes in our offense and we got better. You know, we scored 49 on Pike and 42 on LC, and I don't remember what the LN score was, 28 on Carmel, but we just kind of got going. You know, 37 on Center Grove, who was 6-7-0 at the time. I don't remember. So we kind of got going, but we're always talking about starting fast, taking the first possession. But you also got to understand the other team's starting fast. And last week, you know, and just like in Avon, our first two possessions, we didn't go anywhere. And then we kind of got going. Against Center Grove, our first two possessions were punt and punt. And then we kind of got going because, you know, as a staff, you're trying to figure out what they're doing. All right, we think watching film, this is what we're going to get all week. And then they show up on Friday night, and it's not what we saw. All right, we got to do this, this, and this. So you're playing a little bit of a chess game.
Oh, we've talked week after week about the performances Kyle Kastner's been having. Has there been any changes in the attention he's getting from some colleges out there right now?
Without mentioning the college's name, on the sideline Friday, he sat there and told me after the game, he goes, I can't believe no MAC schools have picked this kid up. He goes, that's unbelievable. He sat there and watched the whole game, and he's a big-time BCS coach, said, I cannot believe there's not a MAC school saying, I want this kid. He goes, Coach, he was phenomenal. And again, he's hitting on about 70% of his passes, 1,300 and plus yards, 10 TDs, 3 picks, handles the balls, rushed for a couple hundred yards. He can run when he has to, doesn't want to, you know, because we don't ask him to, but he can, and is in complete control of the offense mentally. He's just in control.
Well, Coach, it's neon night for the Purple Rain coming up on Friday night, but we always give you a chance to give the fans a pep talk. So
here we go, folks. There are There's no excuses. We're eliminating the excuses. We are taking fan buses to Warren Central. I'm not sure what's included in the fan bus. I know last year it included pizza, your ticket, and the fan bus. I don't know what they're working out this year, but you have a ride to the east side on a fan bus. So if your excuse is you don't have a ride, you're lying. Get up off your butt, get on a bus, and get over there and make us loud and proud.
And how much, just in the final seconds, how much does it mean for the team to look back there and see all those fans?
There hadn't been a night go by our kids don't comment on what a great crowd we have. I don't think they realize it. I don't think they're we say it enough. We thank them enough. But the reality is our kids need to feel that. Warren, I guarantee you, is going to have a packed house. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. We have to kind of match the intensity on our crowd.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of purple on the east side.
Yep. Let's go.
Anything else, Jeff?
I'm just looking forward to covering your team. First time I get to see your team in person.
Right. It'll be good. Hopefully we'll put on a show.
Well, hopefully a couple, maybe some records fall on Friday night. I know Kyle's getting close to James Banks. Mm-hmm. And you too, Coach. Maybe have some records too with moving into second, at least tying for second. So
yeah, I think I saw a little blurb about Mike's just one game away.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, though. It should be a great game. We'll have coverage beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday night with a replay of this show. We'll have lots more between then and the top of the hour when kickoff happens, probably at 7:05, because I think it's a TV game.
Yeah. So it's Hometown Network.
Mick game of the week as the Giants and the Warren Central Warriors tangle yet again. And, hopefully it'll be a great game. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Jeff, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Corey Johnson back in the station. LaVon, get back. We want you back here because I don't do a very good job. This has been another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football on the Sports Voice of the Giants, Giant 90.9.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.